church. I hope that's your heart this morning. He is worthy of all of our praise. And that's why I just wanted to sing that again, because I wanted to make sure that you understand. You may not be present, but he's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy to be praised. You may not be present, but what a powerful testimony it is that we are agreeing where all of us are all separated. We are agreeing in one accord. We're lifting up our voice. We're lifting up our hands, singing praise to the Father. And I just think that was such a great moment. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. Would you agree this morning with me as we just kind of transition? Would you agree with me as we just lift up some of the needs that we have? And I want to pray for those. And I want to pray just over general things. But I want to pray specifically just for protection over you and your family, wherever you're joining us from. For those individuals that are going to be out on the roads and plowing, and our first responders. It's important to lift those up in prayer and protection. So would you join me this morning? Let's just engage. Let's just enter into just a time of prayer. So Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, we are, Lord, just filled with thankfulness this morning of the goodness of our Father. We're just so thankful. And so, Lord, even in the midst of all of the things that are going on, Lord, we're not in the building. We're not together physically. But God, I just pray that those individuals that are joining us right now would tangibly feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. Would tangibly feel the presence of your Holy Spirit ministering to them, encouraging them, uplifting them. For all those that are sick in body, I pray, God, for physical touch in their bodies and just over, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, whatever, God, it is. I pray that, Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit and the ministry of your Holy Spirit, would speak to them, encourage them, uplift them this morning. Lord, we pray, God, for those of us that are home, God, that's been a long winter. And this storm doesn't help, because, Lord, we just feel the cold. That we might feel the darkness. I pray, God, that we would tangibly feel, Lord, your Spirit's presence of joy. No matter where we are at, Lord, I pray that we would feel connected to you, Jesus. As we preached on last week, God, we have been chosen, we have been forgiven, we've been redeemed by you. So, Father, this morning I pray that we would be reminded of that. For those individuals that are struggling, God, just with that, maybe that seasonal depression, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, light would come in. I pray that the light would come into their lives, that they would feel that in their lives this morning. Father, I pray for, Lord, for all the individuals, God, right now, as we speak, Lord, that are currently and have been in the last couple days, God, preparing and for the storm, I just pray, God, for our first responders, for those that are out plowing, God, our paramedics, our police, all of those individuals, God, that are associated with, Lord, our protection, our safety, God, and our ability to function, God, in our towns and municipalities, God, whatever it is. I pray, God, that you would bless them today. I pray, God, that you would protect them as they work. I pray, God, for just your hand of protection over them, Lord. Bless them today. Thank you, God, for those individuals. And I pray, God, as we continue on this morning, and God, wherever we are at, Lord, physically in our homes, and I just pray, God, that you will bless this morning. I pray, God, for the time that Lord Pastor Tim is going to be coming and bringing the word. I pray, God, blessing on him and anoint him, God. I pray, God, for open ears and open hearts, God. For as we hear the word, I pray, God, that we would receive it. And Lord, we continue to just lift up Pastor Brad and Nicole this morning. We pray, God, that you will continue to minister to them, speak to them, Lord, as they are continuing in their sabbatical. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for them. Bless them. Bless them. Father, we are so filled. We are thankful. We give you thanks. We give you praise, for it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad again that you're joining us, and I just want to say thank you for being with us this morning, and I want to just say thank you to the worship team, and I know if you're, you know, if I could hear you, probably clapping, right? So that's probably what you're doing. So, and if you're standing at home or whatever that you're doing, you can have a seat, and I just want to just say thank you as I greet you and I welcome you, and I'm going to, yeah, and as Tim brings my table, not my table, it's his table today. Thank you, sir. But I just want to say thank you again. And if this is your first time, and it's kind of a different, if this is your first time, it's kind of different because you're not in the house. You're not in the building. But we always do have first-time guests and visitors that are on our online broadcast. And so I want to just welcome you. Let me introduce myself again. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here along with my wife, Christine, as one of the associate pastors. And again, we just are excited. So if this is your first time, we would love to connect with you. Easiest ways, if you see a little QR code, you can just scan that with your phone, open that up, and then it'll take you to a little link that will correspond back and forth. If you were in the house, I would give you a gift, actually. I would give you a little box. But since you're not here, you'll just have to wait till next week. And just let's just pray that we don't have another storm next week. So you can just I'll make good on that promise. If you come next week, I can give you a little box to bless you with some information, some chocolate, and a gift card from Chick-fil-A if you were in the house. But again, I want to just remind you, what a great reminder on today, because we're online, is our ways of giving. And our ways to bring our offering, our physical offering in that way, not just us as an offering, not just our praise as an offering, but the biblical principle of tithing, gifts and tithes in that way, an offering. And so I would just remind you again, you can do that in a few different ways. If you were in the house, we do have a physical copy bulletin that's got a QR code. You could scan that. But if you're not, if you have the Church Center app, and could I encourage you, if you don't have that, I would really challenge you to do that, because it's a great way, it's a great tool and a resource that we can communicate. All of our calendar, everything that we do basically with all of our ministries is on that Church Center app. You can give right on that. It's very easy. So you can give through the Church Center app. You can give on our website. So if you are, if you're on our website, you can just click on the give, online giving. It's an easy tab. And again, if you were in the house, we do have that traditional way. But I just want to encourage you on a today, you know, that we're not in the building. It's a good reminder for all of us to be reminded of the different ways that we can give in that way. I also want to bring just to attention, I've been announcing this for the last couple of weeks, of all the different ministries that we have that we're in need of, some volunteers and helpful or helping in those areas of ministry. And I would just encourage you to be prayerfully considering. If you feel like the Lord's leading you, and I just want to get involved, I want to help in some way. Pastor Mike, what is there to do? What can I do? Well, there's two areas that we specifically are highlighting in these last couple weeks, and that is our cleaning team and a group of individuals that we have volunteer that clean our church building. And I always just say, and Pastor Brad is always really good about this too, is how thankful we are for them, because that's one of the kind of the unsung heroes of our church in that way. When you walk into our building, it's always clean, and we take great pride in that, and we want to make sure that we continue that. But we also need people, physical hands and physical feet, to help with that in that. So if that's you, if you're saying, I would love to help with that, would you come talk to me? Would you see me next time you're in the building? Drop me an email or give me a call, because I would love for you to do that. The other area is our CP Kids, which consists of both Pastor Amber's area, as well as our nursery and preschool. And so again, we want to make sure, and one of the things that we value is the safety and the security of our children, but also the teaching and the discipling of our children. And so we are very serious about that. And so we want to make sure that we provide adequate, good, quality people. And if that's you, if you feel like I got a heart for teaching, I love kids, I want to help, I want to bless, I want to help shape and mold them into the young men and to the young women that they will then eventually become, I would encourage you to do the same. Would you talk to me? It's a little bit different process concerning that than the cleaning team, but I would encourage you to do that. And I just want to also mention, I'm so thankful for all of our ministry, all of our, we call it the dream team, all of our people that help throughout all of our areas of ministry, not just those two. And we're so thankful, and we're blessed. As a smaller church, typically, we're blessed with a mighty, mighty group of people, individuals that come together, volunteer to really push forward the kingdom of God. So thank you again for all of you that do that. Hey, real quick, just upcoming this week, right now we're thinking the snow is going to be gone. The cold's going to probably still be here, but we're looking forward to this coming Wednesday to have our normal scheduled journey night. All of our small groups start at 7. So I would encourage you, if you are not involved in a small group, come be a part of it. We have a great women's small group right now that's meeting. We have a fantastic men's group that's meeting. Right now, I've decided to postpone my rooted group until just the second half of our semester. So roughly in the mid-March that we'll relaunch a second half of that. So just because of our some of the weather conditions and getting back up this semester, I just want to give you that knowledge that we're going to do a rooted group. I just wanted to wait until I could get some more people in that. So I would encourage you, if that's something that you would be a part of and want to engage in, I would love to talk with you in that. So, but this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, come, all of our small groups are meeting. And again, I would just remind you, and I think you heard me as I prayed, that Pastor Brad and Nicole are currently on sabbatical. Let us be a part of that. Let us participate in this. Church family, it's so vitally important that you understand that we are participating in this. It's not just Pastor Brad and Nicole going away for rest and a renewal. It's really us preparing our hearts, our minds, our building, all of those things together for the anticipation upon their return. And so would you do me that favor? Would you bless them? Let's pray for them. Let's encourage and uplift them. And let's come together, right, as we prepare for their return. And that's coming up. It'll be here before you know it. It's going to be Easter. Easter Sunday is when they're going to be returning. But let us continue to just be in prayer for them, that God would bless them and keep them, speak to them. And just, again, rigs really what they are in need of, and we're just excited for them. So I would encourage, if you want any more information, if I missed anything as far as our announcements, always look on our Facebook, look on our Facebook, all of our social media accounts, our website. Church Center app is a great actual thing that we do, and then just check out our text alerts. I'm having a hard time this morning, so I'm excited for this morning. I want to just welcome and thank Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim is one of our very own. He's a licensed minister, but he has also agreed to fill the pulpit along with me and a few other people that are coming, and you'll hear about that as we go through this next couple months. But I just am thankful for him, his guidance, his leadership, and certainly I'm thankful for the word that he's going to bring this morning. So again, let's just give it up for Pastor Tim this morning.
Carrying a lot of stuff here, folks. The iPad, I'm getting so old, the iPad is almost too small for me now, so without glasses. So I brought my full computer. And give me 1 second to open this up. I really thank you guys for being here. And for those of you who are at home, thanks for tuning in. I don't know, it might be Sunday night when you're watching this. I don't know, whenever it's convenient for you. Either way, bless you. Today, you know, a lot of times when we get up here to talk, we always say something like, over the next 9 weeks, we're going to teach a series based on, and you know, so we do that a lot because it's really nice to build a series, especially if the Lord lays it on your heart. There's a lot of things that can be said that can't be jammed into 1 week. So I know Pastor Mike's doing a current series on Ephesians. I'm interrupting that by a week, but he's going to keep going on that. For me today, it's going to be one and done. The Lord has laid something on my heart to share. I'm only going to speak about it today. However, I hope it resonates for you much longer than just for today. So my thought for today is, what does the Lord have prepared for us this year? And how do we prepare ourselves to receive what he has for us? And I'm not saying that the Lord's got something, it might not be great. It might not be something that in our heads we think, oh, this is great, I've been waiting for this. And I'm not talking about money. You know, the Lord's blessing is not, you know, based on money at all. It's great when it does, but that's not what his blessings are about. I'm saying whatever. whatever the Lord has for us this year, are we going to be willing to hear it, open to hear it, willing to do it? So today I'm going to talk about the story of Elijah and the widow at Zarephath, as it reads in 1 Kings chapter 17. But I want to lay a little background before I get into those actual verses. In 1 Kings, it says, in verse number 1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishba in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" That's powerful. And he's talking about an entire nation that it's not even going to have any dew on the ground. So he's calling for a drought unless he says so. But remember, it's not him. He says, "Unless I say so." But what he really means is when God says so. We are pretty powerless on our own. So he's talking about that. So the next verses down talk about how God sends the ravens to feed Elijah. This story always just makes my mind just spin. Here I am sitting by a creek. He says, "Drink the water from the creek." So he's drinking the water from the creek. The ravens are bringing him bread and meat every day. And I'm just thinking, I'm looking at thinking about a raven, and he's probably picking up some roadkill somewhere and pecking at it and bringing back a chunk to Elijah. But, you know, it might have been like that, or it might have been the ravens picked up a whole cooked turkey and brought it to him. I don't know. God's blessings are great. I don't know. If I'm starving, the little bit of meat from a raven's beak is going to be a blessing, right? If I'm not so hungry, I'm probably going to look at it and probably not want it too much. But the ravens fed him until a time. And it says that he did. He listened to God. He drank from the brook or the creek, as they say. And it says in chapter 7, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So this wasn't a magical brook that kept flowing even though God stopped the rain. Eventually it dried up. So now there's Elijah. You know, he's out in the wilderness basically, drinking from a brook and getting food from ravens. And it says, it goes on to say in chapter 7, we're going to start in 7. And that's where my story starts because this talks about the widow. And it says, "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.' So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' And verse 11 says, 'As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread."'" So there is a lot of meat on that bone in those four verses. A lot of things happening. Number one, Elijah was ready to hear the word of the Lord. He's there being fed. He's getting the promises of God right then, and yet he's still listening to the next direction that God has for him. So get up from the brook. You don't have your brook anymore. Get up and go to Zarephath. And so what's he do? So he went to Zarephath. He didn't question. He didn't say, "When do you want me to go?" It just says he went. And I am not a biblical scholar to know how far where he was to where Zarephath was. And I didn't check out the mileage on the maps, but it just says he went. So I don't even want to walk to my car. So walking to another city, I'm sure, is pretty difficult. But that's what he did because he was told to do it. And the Bible says that the Lord prepared the widow. Actually, the word says directed in the NIV version. He directed the widow. And it says, I will direct her and she will supply you with food. So I think about this widow. And no, that's not what I mean. I'm not worried about her yet. sorry, that's for later. What mindset did the widow have to be in to listen to God to say, hey, go out to that gate right there today? She probably didn't do this every day. She was at the gate today, at that day, just like God had directed her to do. Okay? So the Lord never sends us into a situation that he doesn't prepare in advance. Elijah didn't have to go to the gate and look for somebody. She was there. God prepared her to be there. Luke 19:30 says, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. God prepared that colt to be there. Those guys didn't have to go look for that colt. They walked in and there it was, tied up. They knew that was the one. God prepared that for him to do. I like this one because, you know, that's a good thing. Jesus said, go there, and that's what it's going to be. Now, here we go. Exodus 4:21, the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart. I will harden his heart. So the Lord prepared to harden the heart of Pharaoh, because if Moses would have went there and just said, hey, look, I can throw a stick down and have it become a snake. And Pharaoh said, oh, okay, go ahead and go. It wouldn't have gave glory to God as much as everything that happened. We have so many stories from Exodus about that struggle between Moses and the people and Pharaoh, and whether or not he's going to let him go and let him go. And it causes just unbelievable plagues across the country that Pharaoh was in charge of. And it's like, the more you struggle for something, isn't it a better story later on? Isn't it worth more when you work for something? So if things come easy, I don't know, we forget about them. We don't appreciate them as much. So the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that the next thing that God said was going to happen, and the next thing that God said was going to happen happens, and the next, and so on, until finally Pharaoh, in agony because his son has now passed away, grants them permission to go. Another example of, and this is my favorite example of God preparing the way, John 14:2 says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will may also be where I am. Jesus already did that. He's prepared the way for us to get there. He's got a room ready for you and for me. And, you know, my room may be very small and in the basement of Rhonda's mansion. I don't know. Probably, because she gets a lot of crowns she gets a lot of jewels in her crown just for living with me for this long. I know she does. But he's prepared a place for me. And I just, you know, I think that's awesome. So the last thing within those lines that I read is Elijah first asked for water. And the widow gets up and goes to get him water in a jar. And then he says, while you're up, I'd like a little piece of bread too. That happens a lot of times in our house. Hey, while you're up, so, you know, you're sitting there, you're watching TV, while you're up, can you grab me some more hot water with lemon or a Levin's cookie? And don't forget to let the dogs out. I'm teasing with Rhonda right now, but I do the same thing to her. You know, when you're sitting there and you're comfortable, man, they're already getting up. Maybe they'll do this for me. I love that. And we do because we love each other and we want to do things for each other. So we do that. But he doesn't know this widow. He just says, while you're going, I'd like a piece of bread as well. And so it leads us into verse 12. And it says, this is the widow speaking. And she says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That is a depressing, depressing thing to say. The woman's in despair. This is the end of her rope. She's had it. I can't even believe she went to get water, to be quite honest, because there's been a drought, right? I mean, the creek dried up, the brook that Elijah was sipping out of and drinking out of, that dried up. She went to get him water anyway, which I thought was very cool. But when it comes to the bread, she's like, I ain't got it. I don't have it. And even though the Lord said to Elijah that he directed a widow to supply you with food, she said, I don't have any. She didn't have any. Here's where the real test of faith is about to happen for this widow. Is she going to listen to the man of God and do what he asks? Or is she just going to say, I'm eating this bread, making it for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. Verse 13, Elijah brings her up, and he says to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said, or do as you have said, I should say. But first, make me a small loaf of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me. And then make something for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And verse 15 says, she went away and did as Elijah told her. That is pretty cool. The one thing I think is funny in this is he doesn't say go ahead and make a couple of cakes or anything like that. He says make me one first. And I say cake because I grew up King James. And in King James it says make me a little cake first. And I always picture that widow back there, eggs, flour, you know, the Pillsbury mix in there and stuff like that, making the cake for him. But it's really just bread, but a cake of bread. But he says, make mine and bring it to me. So she's got to go home, fire everything up, make the small piece or the loaf of bread for him, and then she brings it to him. And then she goes back and makes something for her and her son. So the faith that she had, it's my belief, and the way I picture this story is she used everything she had to make that loaf for Elijah. She used everything. I'm sure she poured the flour out, made the whole thing, brought it to him. And that must have been probably a very long walk back after giving Elijah his bread. Walking back to the house thinking, okay, is this going to be it? Was he really a man from God? Did I really hear his voice tell me that? That's a lot of faith right there. So let's put this in today's time. I have nothing but a meal left. And Pastor Mike says to me, give it to me first. And don't worry, you'll have plenty. Two things better be very clear if that happens. Number one, I've got to believe that Pastor Mike was directed by God to ask me for that, and not just he was hungry. And second, I better be prayed up and prepared to hear God's voice no matter what they ask. Because in my person, in my human person, if somebody comes up to me and says something crazy like that, I'm just not going to believe them. I'm just not. People fail. There have been many people, pastors, people who speak at the pulpit who fail. I failed. And so when they say, the Lord told me, God told me to have you do this, buddy, I take that with a huge grain of salt. And I have to measure it against what I feel God's telling me. So I've got to be prepared to be hearing the voice of God so that when Mike says that to me, I say, you know what? I was hearing the same thing. God was talking to me. This is going to be a miracle from God. This is going to show others how real God really is. And it's going to be a testimony in your life for the rest of your life. But if I'm not listening to God, I might not give Mike my sandwich. So I've got to know it's God talking through him and not just him talking as a person. And the only way to do that is to be in line with God and hearing his voice. I'm not saying that God can't talk to me through another person. I never want to put God in a box. He can use Mike to speak his word to me. Okay? But if I'm not in the right mindset, if I'm not prayed up, if I'm not listening to God on a regular basis, then I might not recognize God's voice coming through Mike. But I also don't want to say, if I don't hear from God direct, I'm not listening to it. Because that puts God in a box to me. He did it this way once, doesn't mean he has to do it that way again. But I still have to be open and ready for it. So I'm going to judge Mike's words. No matter what he asked me, I'm going to judge that. I'm going to pray about it to God. Okay? She didn't seem like she had a lot of time. So another thought that comes up when I read that scripture, it says, but first. And that's kind of what I'm theming today on is but first. And we sang that song today, and I'm going to get to it at the end, but we sang that song, Bless God. And it at the end, and I'm going to read some of it. At the end, it says something like, you know, bless God, basically, no matter what the situation. And that situation, whatever it is, I feel that blessing God is the but first. But first, let's praise God. I'm going to do this, but first, I'm going to praise God for it. I'm going to praise God before I get into that village and see that colt tied up. I'm going to praise God before I get into heaven and see my house. That's what I got to do. But first, I've got to make things right with God. I've got to be in the right mindset with God. I've got to do what God wants me to first, and then I can do whatever he's telling me to do. I remember a lesson about but first or first that Al Peterson taught at least 20 years ago. At least 20. Every time I seem to have a microphone up here, I mention Al Peterson. Sorry, Al. This one I didn't even ask you if I could say because it was at a public class. It wasn't personal. but about 20 years ago, he talked about first fruits. He was teaching a lesson on, I believe, on tithing, but he came to a section called first fruits, and I've never forgotten this over 20 years. And the way he brought this in was it revolved around giving the first fruits back to God. And there's so many biblical passages about first fruits and first fruits. But in today's age, you know, we're not harvesting fruit and then taking a basket of it to the temple. But he was talking about an example about praying about and receiving a new job or a better job that paid more or receiving a raise at work. And Al challenged us as his entire class, he challenged us to say, give that raise. Give it all to the Lord. Because you've been without it this long. One more month isn't going to hurt you. Give that raise to God to bless God, to show him that you're honoring him and putting him first in your life. Never left my head. I can't say that I've always done it, but I've always tried to do it. And I haven't had that many raises, but you know. Do you hear that, boss, if you're watching? It's all about putting God first, though. It has nothing to do with the money. It has nothing to do with any. It's about obedience and putting God in what, you know, putting God first in your life, no matter what you're doing. Anyway, that's a lot in between the scripture, but let's get back to the scripture. Verse 15 says, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. Now, this verse says family. So did she have more than one son? Or does she only have a son and then she has an extended family? You know, it wasn't like here in America where we think we're 17, 18 years old. We have to move out of the family's house and, you know, live on our own and stuff like that. Back then, I'm sure there were some generations of families living together. And that has a lot of value. Did I say something wrong, John? You turn me off? Okay. But it says that there was enough food for Elijah, the woman, and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So whatever Elijah said came true. And not by his power. It says, keeping in the word the Lord spoke to by Elijah. So it was the Lord doing this, not Elijah. And I, you know, reading the Bible, Elijah is a great prophet, and he never once has that temptation to say, it's me. So that's how I can appreciate him and his work that he does. So 15 and 16 verify that the widow had food for herself and her family, and the supplies didn't run out. And again, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So by doing this first, the widow received her reward by listening and honoring God, by putting God first, by putting that cake or that bread to Elijah first. You know, if we just put God first, there will always be provision enough for us. I'm not saying we might not go hungry. But there's always provision, God's provision for us, if we put God first. Matthew 6:33, you know, we've all sang this before. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Alleluia, is the way the song goes. But what words to live by? And that's, even though that was written, you know, much after the story in 1 Kings, she was obeying that. She put God first, and provisions applied to her. So why not now? So on with the story. All is going well for the widow. And now she's used to God's provision. Every day she gets up and makes that bread, and she doesn't have to worry about it. She's got enough food every day. She's getting comfortable with it. So much so that when something else went wrong, She's so comfortable with those provisions, she seems to forget the daily blessings are already provided by God. And now trouble happens, and she immediately goes off the rail. And that doesn't say off the rail in the Bible. That's my TGV, Tim Greaves version. Verse 17 and 18, it says, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? She doesn't blame God for this. She blames Elijah, his God's representative. But she's immediately, now, I'm not saying it's not a small deal. You know, your son getting ill, and he stops breathing. He's getting worse and worse, and then he stops breathing. He's passed. He's dead. And she basically yells at Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? What did I do wrong? Are you here to remind me of my sin and punish me for it? You're going to kill my son? How quickly we can become comfortable with everyday life and what God does for us on a daily basis. And who or what do we blame when things go wrong? And I want to use air quotes when I say the word wrong. I mean, wrong for me is, oh my gosh, my tire pressure is low and it's cold outside. What else could go wrong today? That just happened to me last week. That's why it's in here. And it was terrible. But instead of thinking, what else could go wrong today, our first thoughts should be, Lord, thank you for the provision of this car and a convenient gas station nearby that has an air pump. And yes, it's cold outside while I'm filling up my tires. Thank you for the heat that works in my car and that you've provided a warm house for me to stay in. With this really bad weather, I just, you know, want to add blessings and prayer on those people who unfortunately don't have a place to go and they are living in the streets. Because, you know, we talk about room temperature. Room temperature for the homeless is whatever the temperature is outside. I pray for those people that they find someplace warm to go, and I pray for them to, I don't know, I don't want to say live a better life. I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I want to say to be cared for. And there's so many places out there that will care for these people if they just allow them to help. So I pray that that happens for them. If I can suggest something to you, and some of you probably do this already, I do not journal. I have certain places in my Bible when God does something for me or has healed me, I write that down in my Bible, kind of like a, you know, stepping stones and stuff like that, somewhere for me to go back to, a little mini temple for me to go back to and be reminded of everything God does. If I can suggest, when you have time, to create some sort of journal of not only things, big things that happen in your life that God has done for you. My girls used to use a happy thoughts book. Now, it wasn't always, thanks God for these really cool shoes. It might have just said, I got these really cool shoes, and that's a happy thought. Now, when I say they had a book, I mean they had books. They wrote down everything that made them happy, from little things to big things. And when they were young, it just made them happy. Now that they're older, I'm sure if they went back and read through these again, they're thanking God for all those happy things that happened to them. And so if you don't already, or if you have trouble remembering, or if you have trouble remembering all the things God does for you when you get into a wrong situation, something happens to you, I suggest write them down. I type them on my computer. Thank you, Lord, for my computer, you know, so I can keep track of things without stacks of paper around my house. It's a great way to remind yourself not to lose it when something does go wrong. Oh, my paycheck was light this month. Oh, you got a paycheck. God gave you a job. You know, I messed up that beat on that song. It's okay. Most people didn't notice it. Christine did. But you know what? I thank her for being our music leader and our worship leader, because she'll never say, my gosh, Tim, you messed that up. I don't even know if she thinks about it. I don't know. She's good. Love doing that. I love you leading this for us, Christine. So anyway, back to the story. Elijah's going to step in, and he says, give me your son. Can almost see the eye roll when he said it. It's not enough that you're being fed every day. Give me your son. And he rolls his eyes and he takes his son. And I understand it's a serious issue, but still, the faith that Elijah had in God and this constant provision, he's got to be like, you don't understand. I understand your child's dead. I get that. But this is so minor for God. God can fix this. Give me your son. And so he takes her son, and verse 19 through 21 says, Elijah replied, give me your son. And then he took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. And then intercessory prayer happens. He cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. Intercessory prayer. And why was this important to Elijah? I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's a life, and I'm sure it was important to Elijah. But similar to the hardening of the heart for Pharaoh, where if he'd have just thrown a stick down and became a snake, that's too easy. Just provisioning food and oil for this widow and her family and for Elijah, that's too easy. Well, it is easy for God. It's a miracle every day that happened for him, but it's too easy. Let's take it another step further. So the son dies, and he's like, Lord, I'm not going to let this belittle your name to this widow. She said, I am a servant of you, and because I'm a servant of you, I don't want anything bad to happen to her family, because that's going to look bad. She's not going to believe in you. The Lord heard, verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son is alive. Look, your son is alive. One more time, God proves himself to the widow, literally raising her son from the dead. And verse 24 says, then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. It's a roundabout way of saying, I believe in God. She said, I believe that you believe in God. Basically is what she says. Now, she's accepting it, don't get me wrong. And I know sometimes we need convinced. Even though God never fails us, we still need convinced because we're human. She needed convinced again. Wasn't enough that she was still being fed and she had oil. She needed convinced again. And God provided yet another miracle because he does never fail us. Psalms 119, 140 says, your promises have been thoroughly tested. and your servant loves them. God's promises have been tested thoroughly, and we should love his promises. Now everything is fine for the widow and her family again. She is still receiving the daily provisions from God. Doesn't say it started to rain there. Rain hasn't come yet. She's still living off of that. And her son is back from the dead, and life goes on. Everything's great. But I am a bit worried about the widow in this story. In verse 12, she says, "As sure as the Lord your God lives." And in verse 24, she says that Elijah is a man of God. But I don't hear a confession from her about her belief in God. She believes Elijah knows God, but she doesn't say that she does. Now, it might be a roundabout way that she does believe, but man, I don't want roundabout. Look at all she's been through and the miracles she's seen and the provision that God has given her and her family, and yet she doesn't say, "The Lord my God," or say, "Thank you to God directly." She didn't even really say thank you for when he brings down her son alive again, but she does confess that he knows God. And this is a trap we can all fall into. It's not just the widow. We accept the good things that God does for us on a daily basis. And perhaps we go to church to listen to a pastor. And we might believe that he or she is a man or woman of God. But have we engaged ourselves into a personal relationship with God? Can we come to him directly with confidence and thank him for everything he's done for us personally? And are we striving to become that man or woman of God ourselves? What are we doing to take that next step personally? What are we doing to put God first so that we can receive what he has planned for us, whatever that plan is? One thing's for certain, we cannot go wrong by putting God first in our lives. And we need to trust that God goes before us in every situation. And he has prepared a path before we even get there. Again, we don't know what that is. We don't know what path he has for us. But we've got to know that when he sends us on a path, he's already been there. Not going to send us into something that he hasn't prepared for us, no matter what it is. So I'm hoping you take from this message a couple of things that will help you throughout this week and throughout your life. Prepare yourself to hear from God. Many of us are coming off 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. And if you're looking at this, you're off your fast. So that's a great way to prepare yourself to hear from God. I hope that everybody who was doing the prayer and fasting came out of that with something new, a refreshed faith, a renewed look into the path that God wants us to be on. And it might not be a comfortable path. It might be something taking you out of your comfort zone. But remember, God's been there. He's got you. He's got you. But you have to be prepared to hear from him. Number two is be ready to hear God's voice in others' conversations. I mentioned earlier that I'm not putting God in a box. If God wants to use Mike to speak to me, he's going to do that. But I have to be prepared to hear God's voice through others' conversations. And he doesn't have to do things the same way every time. Just because he did it one way once doesn't mean he has to do it that way again. Our job as believers in Christ is to prepare ourselves to recognize God's voice, whether it's coming from God, whether it's coming from somebody else, to recognize that voice. There was a missionary who came to the church, and this again was probably 25 years ago, I don't know. And he said, and this is before cell phones, so he said when he would get to his hotel as he traveled around, his phone would ring or something like that, and he'd pick it up, and his wife would say hi to him. And he'd say, "Hi, honey." And they said, "Well, you know, how'd you know it was her calling?" "Because I recognize her voice, because I talk to her all the time." That's how we have to be with God's voice. I recognize God's voice, whether it's coming from God, whether it's coming from somebody else, whether it's coming from a situation. I need to be able to recognize God's voice. And the only way to do that is to hear God's voice on a regular basis. Well, I don't mean it's the only way to do it, but it's a great way to do it. When Rhonda calls me, I don't have to say, "Who is this?" Well, I have caller ID. But before caller ID, I still didn't have to ask because I recognized her voice. Let's get that way with God. The next thing we want to do is acknowledge the work that God is doing in our life and do what he asks. Acknowledge the blessings. Acknowledge what he's currently doing regularly in our lives and do what he asks. Now, this is the part where I wanted to look into this. My thing's upside down. Give me a second. I want to look into the words of that song, The Blessing, that we did. Because, because this was so powerful while we were playing. And I'm thinking about my sermon. I'm thinking about how we put God first in our lives. And it just hit me, like, blessing him. Blessing God first. And the song says, the part that I really liked is, "Bless God when my hands are empty. Because I don't know what's coming next, but I'm blessing him for it. Bless God when nobody's watching. Bless God with a praise that costs me." Putting God first is not always the easiest thing to do, guys. It's not. But it's so necessary and so vital to our growth in God and where he's going to lead us. And it says, "Bless God, for he holds the victory, and he's always with me, and he's always worthy." Those are unbelievably powerful words, and thanks for letting us, having us do that twice today, Pastor Mike, because I wasn't done after the first time myself. And the last thing is, walk away with this thought, put God before all else. And watch what happens. And then tell somebody about it. That's how you build your testimony. A testimony isn't always about God saved me and I was here and God saved me and now I'm here. No, that's part of it. But let's work on that next testimony. You know, God might have saved you in your 20s, and that's a great testimony for somebody who's 20. But somebody who's as old as Pastor Brad. Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud? He's still younger than me, so. When you get to somebody older, they love the fact that you were saved in your 20s, but they want to say, "What's God been doing for you lately? Because in my life, maybe I'm a little stagnant. Maybe I'm in that place where the widow was, where I got used to having bread and I got used to having oil. I want something new. How do I get to someplace new?" By putting God first and sticking with that and being vigilant in putting God first in everything I do. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for just everything that you do, Lord Jesus. Everything you've done in the past, the ultimate sacrifice on the cross after living a sinless life to die for our sins. That's number one, Lord. Let us not forget that one for sure. And Lord, let's remember the things that you do for us on a daily basis. You are our daily bread, but you also give us provisions, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Lord, if you take provisions away, I thank you for that. I bless you for that, Lord Jesus. I want to be at a point in my life where I bless you no matter what happens, Lord Jesus. And I pray that for the people who are listening today. Strengthen their faith. Give them peace. Give them hope. Give them a desire to go after you more, Lord Jesus. I thank you again for this great privilege that we had to come together today and to worship you and to love on you and to learn a little bit more about you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Tim. And I would just encourage you as we conclude today's service, we call this is the year of increase here at Crosspoint. And just like Pastor Tim in challenging us to, what is that? What is that in your own life? You know, I would ask and encourage you, receive this message today. Lean into it. What is God revealing to you personally to that increase? And like we said, it's not about money. It's about the capacity of what God does in our lives. Are we ready? Am I showing the obedience? Am I showing that faith within both Elijah and that widow? So let me encourage you this morning as we conclude. My prayer for you is that you examine, you lean into that, and that we go forth today changed as a result. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you, worship team. And thank you for joining us this morning. Can I just pray over you real quick as we conclude? So, Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, thank you again for this privilege today, as Pastor Tim said. Father, bless those that are, Father, again, at home right now joining us. I pray, God, that your Spirit would reveal those things. I pray, God, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to grow, Lord, in us, in me, Lord, to reveal, Lord, am I ready to receive? Am I ready? Do I have the faith? Am I obedient? And am I hearing your voice? Do I know your voice right now? Jesus, help us, each of us, in this year of increase here at Crosspoint. Let us be obedient to the things that we are in need to do, Jesus. Father, we thank you again today. Bless each and every person, Lord, hearing the sound of my voice. We're so thankful that we could come together. We give you thanks. And we give you praise, for it's in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Church, we love you. God bless. Even though we're not physically present, we love you. We hope to see you on Wednesday for Journey Night. And we hope to see you, prayerfully, see you next Sunday. God bless, church. Let's just go out in a spirit of praise. Amen. God bless, church.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him, that's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he